I would like to speak on four steps that will give you victory in life as a Christian. Try and avoid things that say three steps to this and seven steps to that and everything. But I think that this is very beneficial, and sometimes to say steps and mark them out and be plain about it, it's important. And it's clear, it makes it very clear. Someone might say, oh, well, what about Romans? Have you forgotten about the book of Romans and our study through Romans? No, I've not forgotten about our book of Romans study. Not forgotten about that at all. We'll be getting to Romans soon enough. But I'm compelled to go with what I've been sensing in the week, and I can't change that. So, you know, I just have to do this. Maybe things will change soon and we can get back to the book of Romans, because it's a tremendously powerful and important study that we're involved with in the book of Romans. Come with me in a prayer now as just we begin to go into the word. Everyone in this place praying with me. People up the top as well, people on the bottom, anyone just out standing outside those doors, just pray with me now. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. We're so aware, Lord, of our need to hear from you. Your sheep hear your voice. And so, Father God, help me as I bring your words to life through this thing that you've ordained called preaching. Through the foolishness of preaching, salvation comes. And so, Father God, I present myself unto you now, asking for your will to manifest right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, number one, we must have, and I'm going to be pressing through nice and swiftly this morning. I'm not going to spend too long on this, but we're going to be very clear on it. We must have knowledge of the Word. You can't have a progress in Christ without knowledge of the Word. You have to study the Word. I mean, that's just basic. But you have to study the Word. We have to study the Word. There's no other way. I want to share with you from Acts 20. We're familiar with so many scriptures that advocate studying the Word, but this is one that we don't usually turn to. Come with me now to Acts 20, verse 32. It says, So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Notice, the word of his grace is able to build you up. The word of his grace is able to build you up. Listen, you have to be studying the word. We have to take the word in. This is a very spiritual. People say to me, oh, I'm in spiritual warfare. I want to be in spiritual warfare. Really? Really? You're in spiritual warfare? Really? Yeah. How much have you been studying the Word this week? The study of the Word is the first step in spiritual warfare. I'll tell you why. Because when you start to study the Word, you fall asleep. There's proof positive of the warfare going on. You see, the devil doesn't charge into the room with lights flashing and a sword and screaming his head off. No, 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 no. That'd be too obvious. He just puts people to sleep. Just put them to sleep. Just make it boring. And then just get them convinced that they're not word studying people, you know. Oh, me, I'm not a word type person. It's all right for you. You know, you're a book person. I'm not a book person, you know. Nonsense. You've just been defeated in your Christian walk. That's what's happened there, okay? Nice and plain for everyone? Clear? That's what's happened. No ifs or buts. Listen, spiritual warfare means you study the Word of God. You put yourself under the discipline of the Word. If you don't study the Word, you're not involved in spiritual warfare. You're a baby. Okay? That's step one. We're talking step one. I've got to be plain, because what I find is that people just don't take these steps. I've got to be straight and clear, okay? Because I love everyone here. Honestly, I love you. I want the best for you. But I can't live your life for you. I can't get you to believe the way I believe. If you've got an issue in your life, and I'm saying, I'm thinking to myself, well, why don't they just do that? It's so simple. But that comes from perhaps a study of the word in an area, and I can't get you to do that. You have to do that for yourself. I can't eat your food for you. And no one else can eat your food for you. God himself can't eat your food for you. That's not the way he's ordained it. He's ordained it that you've got to eat your own food. There's no other way. We have to eat our own food, and that's how we grow. If we don't eat our own food, we're not going to grow. It's so simple. But I tell you, it's so difficult. A chapter before each meal of the day. Who's still doing that? Look at that. I'm impressed. Well done. I give you an applause. It's beautiful. Listen, I'm telling you, in a year from now, we're going to get everyone who's still doing it, okay? You remind me. But around about a year from now, I want people to come up and talk about this. Because it changes things. Because it's a spiritual discipline. It gets the word into us. Now look, we don't grow in God by rote. Of course we don't. We can't formulate our way for growth in God. But what we can do is we can put ourselves into the New Testament framework of discipline. Discipleship. See, we can do that. But we have to impose that on ourselves. We can't impose it on others. We can't force people, but we can do it for ourselves. Like we have to eat our food ourselves. So that's what's going on with that. Where it says his grace in Acts 20:32, it says his grace which is able to build you up. You know, it's interesting. I like that, build you up. What it is it's the same Greek word. It's a Greek word. It means to build a house. Actually, it means that, to build a house, to erect a building. In other words, a strong structure. A strong and large structure that will be a safe place for other people to dwell or other people to visit. So in other words, as we commit ourselves to the word of God, studying this word, taking this word in, we grow and become a safe and solid structure. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Oh, I like that. Makes me want to shout. Anyone get nervous if I shout right now? Glory! Hallelujah! I sometimes I just feel like going like this, you know. You see, now the religious people don't like that. Don't get religious. Just be free. Flow in God. And not be stiff. And just flow in him. He loves us. And this word that he's given is for us to grow in him. Because he loves us like a dad loves his lovely children. Now here's the next thing. Number two. So number one, knowledge of the word. Vital for the Christian walk. Absolutely essential. Number two, meditating on that word. Because I've found that there's people who know the word of God, but they don't meditate on it. They don't know it with devotion. They just know the word of God. And they quote scripture. They'll quote scripture, and it means nothing to them. Nothing to them. They don't apply the scripture. They don't fully understand the scripture. The scripture isn't dwelling in them. They haven't meditated on the scripture. Meditating on the scripture causes the scripture to come to life in us. Without meditating on it, without knowledge of the scripture, you can't meditate on it. Without meditating on it, it won't be real in your life. It won't manifest through you. So we have to meditate on the scripture. Well, you know, some people just quote it. They just quote the scripture all the time, quoting it. But they're not meditating. It doesn't change them. They're not changed by it because they've never meditated on it. I believe in meditating on the scripture. meditating on it, causing that scripture to really have a massive, massive impact on us. Let's go, for example, watch what happens here. If I were to go, say, to, I mean, you could pick anywhere, but if I were to go, say, to Proverbs, I go to Proverbs 29, and watch this, Proverbs 29, okay? It says this, right here in Proverbs 29, it says in verse 18, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. No revelation, no meditation, no revelation. It says in number 19, verse 19 of 29, it says, a servant will not be corrected by mere words, for though he understands, he will not respond. Number 20, it says, do you see a man hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him. We're learning about this word of God. The words are coming in, and now we start to reflect on them, and that'll change our life. A fool shows his anger easily. You see someone who's all huffy and puffy. You know some people, they're slightest thing, and oh, they're off in a huff, and they want to show everyone else. You know, they want to show everyone around them that they're not happy about something. But they're not going to talk to those people directly. They're just going to show. They're just in a bad mood. You see that person? There's someone who hasn't been meditating in the Word. They've not spent time in the Word. If they'd spent time in the Word, they wouldn't act like that, because they would have learned. They'd have knowledge of the Word. The Word would show them, hey, listen, a fool does that. We don't want to be fools, do we? No. No one's ambition is to be a fool here. You see, so just by knowledge of the Word, it does that, and then meditating on that, it changes lives. It just changed people. No huffing and puffing. But you see someone who loses their temper quickly, I'll show you someone who doesn't study the Word, let alone meditate on it. Are you listening to me this morning?
Yes.
Everything clear so
yes.
far? Everything okay? Shall I progress on? Should we go on?
Yes.
Got two more points. But first of all, come with me to 1 Timothy 4:15. You know, murmuring people, they're complaining all the time. You know, people who are complaining. You show me a person in the church, okay, who's murmuring against the pastors, who's murmuring against what goes on in the church, who's murmuring against this, against that. You know, they're murmuring all the time against things, being negative, murmuring people. I'll show you someone who's not in the Word. Simple. Because if they're in the Word, they wouldn't do that. Are you still with me this morning?
Yes.
There's a few less amens there. It's the truth. It's the truth. I'm speaking the truth. I mean, that's what it is. 1 Timothy 4:15, it says this, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Do you know, it's interesting. When someone meditates on the Word, when someone's meditating on the things of God, when someone is in the Word, meditating on the things of God, spending their life in God's will, what will happen is you'll witness in their life things. There'll be evidence in their lives. You'll see by their lives. God's hand is on that person. There's something going on there. They're not the same old, same old, same old. No. There's movement. There's change. There's things that we can see plainly. God is manifesting in that church. That church is a church that's different now than it was a year ago. There's something about those people. There's something about that man's testimony. That man is a man in change. That woman, look at her. There's something. She's a woman who's in the Word of God. You can just tell. She's a worshiping woman. She's a woman in the Word of God. You know, that's just the truth of it. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting, notice what it says, that thy profiting may appear to all. I want you to see my profit. Can you see me profiting in life, everyone?
Yes.
I hope so. Because that's what the Bible says right there. Does it say that in that verse? Mm-hmm. That's what it says. Now, it's not to be... in the world, this is arrogance. In the world, this is pride. In the world, this is selfish gain. This is ambition. This is all the things that we don't want. But in the church, it's a testimony to the riches of his grace. Because he loves us. And if we just yield our lives to him, what happens is our lives are changed. He manifests in and through our lives. Are you with me? You see, this is what happens. And I tell you this, you have to demand that for your own life. You can't do it for anyone else, and no one else can do it for you. You've got to eat your own food. You've got to eat your own food, and then this happens. This happens when we eat our own food and we reflect, meditate on the Word of God. Praise God. Number three, I want to say this, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, people don't know what that is. People are a bit nervous of the Holy Spirit. You know, let me say this. Praying in the Holy Spirit is praying in tongues. I'll just read from 1 Corinthians 14:2 here. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Prophecy is more important, according to Paul. But hold on. Speaking in tongues is speaking to God, speaking directly to God. And in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. What happens is, when I use my spiritual language of tongues, I speak mysteries to God. You're mystified, aren't you? That was a joke. It's never good if you have to tell people you're saying a joke, is it? Mysteries to God. I'm speaking mysteries to God. Quien doro vasele pientoro vos sele piero. Candoro vassele mientere vassele piero, ventoro colla lavante, imbara vassele pientoro vare, indoro vossele pieto. Oh, what is that? What is that? I have no idea. I don't know what I just prayed. It is a spiritual language and it's a gift of God. It makes many people nervous, but let me explain it like this in this teaching service, like this. Let me say this. That gift, okay, is speaking the mysteries. Speaking mysteries to God. It's a spiritual language that's available to all of us. That's a spiritual language. And when I pray like that, I build myself up. The scripture says, it goes on to say, let's just read there. It goes on in verse 4, it says of 1 Corinthians 14, it says this, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He edifies, he builds himself up. So I build myself up in that faith. And I'm telling you the truth. When you speak in tongues like that, when you face a problem, when you face a difficulty, or maybe it's a sensitivity, you have a sensitivity to God. There's a sensitivity that comes. Why? Well, you've been engaged in the mysteries of God. I don't know what's being prayed. But the Bible promises me that I'm being built up in my faith. Now, that's important. Let me say this. A lot of the mainline denominations have a suspicion of things like tongues. But a lot of the mainline denominations have people who pray in tongues. And so I want us all to be very comfortable with tongues. Please don't be nervous about tongues. When I was at Holy Trinity Brompton, which is a Anglican church in the middle of London, just by Harrods. It's the church that started the Alpha Course. And the man who was speaking in tongues there was a Queen's Counsel barrister. He's the man who wrote the Alpha Course. His name is Nicky Gumbel. very well educated man. He went to a private school, Harrow, and then he went to Cambridge, studied as a lawyer, you know, became a barrister, a very well educated man. But there he is, speaking in tongues, and the bishop there speaking in tongues, the Anglican bishop. And you know, even in the Roman Catholic Church, there was the charismatic renewal in the Roman Catholic Church. Many, many people speaking in tongues in the Roman Catholic Church. Oh yes, speaking in tongues in the Catholic churches. I have a friend, Father Frank, over there in Luxembourg. And in that Roman Catholic Church, they speak in tongues. But I know Methodists, I know Baptists, I know... And the point, the most important point of all, my dear brothers and sisters, is that this is biblical. This is a biblical language. So what happens is this, okay? If I pray naturally, I pray, I say, oh, you know, and maybe I start out in prayer, and I go into the Lord, and I'm pouring my things out to God, before I get to the part where I'm going to wait on him. But, I'm pouring things out, okay? And I'm pouring things out. What happens is my natural mind is engaged, and I'm speaking with my natural mind. Now, I could pray a selfish prayer in that mind. All about me, all about my family, my things, my, you know, everything orientated around me. I could do that. Hope I don't, but I could do. But if I pray in tongues, I don't know what I'm praying. It's impossible to pray a selfish prayer in tongues. So the language of tongues, you know, it engages our spirits and it builds us up. And I have found that after speaking in tongues for some time, when I then face a problem, it looks different. That's my personal testimony. A problem will look different when you've been speaking in tongues. Problems look different. Life looks different. Your perspective will look different. And also, there's this increased sensitivity to God. And there's something about the supernatural as well. So in the supernatural, notice it says the mysteries. Notice it says this, the mysteries. In the spirit, he speaks mysteries. There's mysteries that we speak. There's mysterious things that happen, you know, in our lives. We're meant to have signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. The testimony I gave earlier to you is a wonder. It's a wonder. All sorts of things are going on. There's wonders happening. There's signs happening. Don't be blind and say, where are they? You can see them surely. In this church, you can see them. But, you know, we have to feed ourselves. Sometimes, you know, people look okay on the outside, but they're malnourished. But they've not been feeding on the word. They just don't feed on it. Some people are starving to death. They don't feed on the word. And all of this that I'm speaking now is double dutch to them. It's just going right over their head. There's some people, you know, it just goes right over their head. But not for us. We get it. We understand it, don't we? Yes. And if you don't, if you're just barely understanding it, it's okay. We can grow in our understanding. But we've just got to be sensitive to what he's saying. Because he wants us to grow in him. What happens is this, okay? Sometimes around the table, you know, I said that we say give thanks. You know, we say thanks to the Lord before we eat our meals. We give thanks to the Lord. Very often, just speaking tongues right around that table there. And what I find is, I mean, you try praying in tongues. You may start off on your knees praying in tongues. You know, you may start off. You know, you start off. But soon enough, you're up and you're praising the Lord and wrestle avantere mi revolse intoro vassele quiento. I don't know what I'm saying, but I know I'm speaking mysteries to God in prayer. And I'm engaged in something that's supernatural. I know I'm engaged in things that are supernatural. And then what I find is in my life, boom, 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 things starting to line up that I can't explain. I can't even begin to explain it. But I just know that this is the truth. This is called the Word of God. And it's the truth. And this is what it says. This is what the Word is saying. It's not my opinion. It's the Word of God. Please don't say, I'm just not a book person, I just don't like reading. Don't be a baby and say that. Listen, if you think that, what's happened is you've just been defeated in spiritual warfare. Don't do that. That the Word of God, and studying the Word, is the root into this. This is the root in. Because you see, if people don't know the Word of God, when they pray in the Spirit, it's less effective. Because it's all emotion then. There's something that happens when people, because I know people who pray in the Spirit, but you see, in their lives then, when they leave the spirit realm of prayer and they enter into the natural realm of living their life, because there's no Word there as a foundation to shape them, the prayer that they've prayed in the Spirit doesn't have anywhere for it to be located in the reality of their lives. Yes, it's been good. They've enjoyed praying in the Spirit, but it's not going to have much of an impact unless they're based on the Word. We have to be based on the Word. The fourth point, and I finish with this one. Speaking the Word to ourselves so we can have knowledge of the Word. Knowledge of the Word is vital. Meditating on the Word is essential. Praying in the Spirit. There's also an important thing for us to do when we speak the Word. And you speak the Word to yourself. And it's different to the other things that I've mentioned. It's different. It's where you just, you could go down in your home and you could just sit down and you just start speaking to yourself. You just say, okay, I've got problems. I've got situations. I've prayed. I've poured out my heart to the Lord. I've done that. I've poured out my heart. I've been meditating on certain scriptures. Okay, and I've also been speaking in tongues. I've been speaking in tongues. Now it's time for me to speak the Word of God out over my life. I'm going to speak these words out. And when we speak them out, you know, faith comes by hearing, by the Word of God. But that's the rhema. But God quickens the Logos to us when we speak it out very often. This is what I find. I find when you speak the Logos, there's two words for word in the Greek. One is Logos, one is rhema. The rhema is the spoken word of God to someone for a particular situation. So he'll use the written word of God and he'll quicken it to your heart. And he'll say, that's for you, now you do this. This applies to you. Just do this, please, do this. Watch what it says in Philippians 4:13. I sit down and I say to myself, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm giving myself a talk today. I'm speaking these words out. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. John 14:4, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Father, I thank you that there is a fountain in me. That fountain is going to manifest out of me. My expectation is being changed. As I speak the word out, what happens is my expectation is changing. And I'm expecting this water that's in me to manifest out of me. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. How can I go to that scripture unless I know the scripture? I have to study the scripture to go to that scripture, to speak that scripture out. When I speak it out, it's powerful in its impact over my life. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I'm righteous. I'm righteous. I'm going to live that righteous life. I have right standing with God. And everything that goes along with that, I'm in communion with him. He loves me. I'm in communion with God, and he wants the best for me. And so I'm speaking that. I'm speaking that out. Listen, I'm going to end with something. This is very important that we speak this out. Did you know, church, Just as I close here, I'm going to close. But did you know that God, in the general sense, isn't working miracles today? Did you know that? God isn't working miracles today. In the general sense, he's not. No. What happened in the Old Testament, there was the working of miracles. God worked miracles. But God's not doing that today in that same sense. But what happened was he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus. And Jesus worked miracles. He was known as the miracle worker, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ then said this to those who would be his disciples. I take you to John 20:21. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. We're the miracle workers today. You and me are meant to be the miracle workers. And I tell you this, what happens is religious people and people who haven't studied the word say this: oh, that's not right. You should walk more humbly than that. It's not me, it's God. It's not God. It's me and you who were commissioned by Almighty God. God commissioned us to do something. It's like this. Let me just illustrate it in such a simple way. Brother, would you come up and stand here, please? You're the chief of police for Greater Manchester, let's say. Okay, you stand up there, nice and high, look. A high-stepping man, chief of police for Greater Manchester. Now then, let's say this is the law for Greater Manchester. He's the chief of police. I now have just gone through my basic training. I've decided to go into the police. I've now got an appointment to be a police officer in Greater Manchester, okay? And you're going to give me that, which has got all the rules and all the things that pertain to my work. And also, pin the badge on me there, please. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Now then, I'm going to go out now, and I spy a criminal over there. And I see that criminal over there, and I arrest that criminal. I'm saying, I'm going to arrest you. I arrest you, and I arrest you because I've got the authority to arrest you. I have the authority to back my call to arrest you, and it's proof form right here. I got a badge as well. I'm arresting you. I'm acting on the authority that I've been given. Now, who's doing the arrest?
You are.
Oh, no, it's not me. No, it's not me. Oh, don't say that. Oh, no, I'm just a humble servant of the commissioner. It was not me. It's the commissioner. Oh, thank you, commissioner. Thank you. Thank you for that man. You arrested him. Well done. Oh, you did so well.
Throw the book at him.
Throw the book at him, yeah. Do you see what I mean? Listen, God's not pleased. God isn't pleased. Thank you, brother. Thank you. God isn't pleased. Give him a... You did a good, commissioner. You were convincing. God isn't pleased with false humility from Christians. God isn't pleased with that. God doesn't delight in people saying, "No, it's not me. I'm just who am I. No, God delights in people who take up the charge of Jesus Christ and say, yes, okay, as God sent Jesus Christ, he said, so now I send you into the world to be my disciples, to lay hands on the sick. He said, you lay hands on the sick. He said, they said in Acts, they said, silver and gold, I don't have. What we have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. But that was what they had, they gave. Now you see, we've got to get a revelation of what we have before we're able to give it. But I'm telling everyone in this place this morning, each one, From the oldest to the youngest, each one of us who believes in Jesus, you've got it. You have got it. Each one of us. We're priests of the Most High. We've got it. Now what we've got to do is recognize it and use it. We've got to have knowledge of the Scripture. We've got to meditate in the Scripture. The Bible says, speak in those new tongues. Speak in those new tongues. And then we've got to speak out those Scriptures with belief and faith. Confess them out so that they become life to us and they change our lives. There's a hurting world. This world out there. We heard the heart of Pastor Beverly earlier. Her heart for the people. They're not interested in theory, religious theology. They're not interested. They're interested first and foremost in love. They're interested in someone who loves them. That's the first thing. But then because of love, there's the opportunity for supernatural things to happen, for miracles. And the supernatural, the real Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, to manifest. I tell you this, brothers and sisters, our true humility is conforming to what the Bible says is true. That's real humility. Real humility is saying, yes, I can speak to mountains. God didn't say, pray to me and I'll speak to the mountains on your behalf. He didn't say that. He said, you speak to the mountains and you move them. Who moves them? Thank you, Agnes. Who moves them? We do. We move the mountains. Who moves the mountains?
We do.
We move the mountains. It's us. I'm going to close on this. Let's just go there quickly. Let's go to Mark 11 very quickly. Mark 11, let's close with this because we've got to see this. So clear, so powerful, so vitally important. Here we are, Mark 11. Thank you, Father. Verse 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. He will have whatever he says. My brothers and sisters, I want you to know, it's whatever he says that counts. This is why I've ended with the fourth point being what we speak out of our mouths. You want to know where your future lies? Record your words for a week. Your words determine where your future destiny is. You want to find out where you're going in the future? Look at your words this last week. You want to change the future? Change your words. How do you change your words? Well, you've got to have a knowledge of the word. Then you've got to meditate on the word. Then to be spiritually activated, get that spirit man on the inside, that spirit woman on the inside working, you pray in tongues. And then you say, I'm going to speak out the word of God. And it'll have a tremendously powerful impact on your destiny, on the life that you're living. You know it's true. I know you do this morning. Brothers and sisters, let's just stand then as we close in a very important prayer. We close in a very important prayer. Let's just all close our eyes. People say, well, why do we always close? Listen, I believe the speaking, the preaching of the word demands always an opportunity to respond. Otherwise, it's like sowing a seed, but you're not really taking care of it. In Mark 4, it says the devil comes to steal that which is sown in people's hearts. Let me tell you something. I'm warning everyone, don't please now, when you go out in to have cups of teas and coffees, don't speak nonsense. The serious things we're speaking of. We're speaking to mountains. I promise you, the enemy will come and try and get you to say something ridiculous to nullify what's been spoken right now. We're in a spiritual word. This is spiritual things. I'm talking spiritual things. Spiritual. Let's pray. Everyone, closing their eyes then. No one need to look around because we just personalize it for everyone that they respond to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you and worship you this morning. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for the truth of the Holy Scripture. We thank and praise you, Father God, that we can know your word because you've made it readily available. It wasn't always available in ages gone by, but today for us it is. We thank and praise you for it. We thank and praise you, Father God, that we can meditate on your word. We thank and praise you for the gift of tongues. Anyone like the gift of tongues in you? You haven't got the gift of tongues. Put your hand up now. I see one hand. I see two hands. I see three hands. Okay. Just come to the front. Just come to the front. And I'm going to pray with you just after the service. I just want to feel led to you pray. Just come. This is good. Come. Don't be shy. Just come to the front. Just stand there at the front. Thank you, Father God. Thank you. Thank you. And just, we're going to finish this prayer first, and then I'm going to go to the front. Now, thank you, Father God, that we can also then speak the word of God. So, Heavenly Father, we respond to you now. We say, yes, Lord. We want this for our lives. We've heard four steps. We want to take them on board. In Jesus' wonderful name, we respond to you now. Listen, if the Lord is speaking to you now, just respond to God. So simple, put your hand up. Just respond to God. That's it. See hands. I see hands. Yes, I got my two hands up because I want to respond to you, Lord. I'm responding to the Lord. Father God, I want you to then have your way with me, Lord. Have your way with my dear brothers and sisters, so precious in your sight. Let your will be done then, Father God. Seal it this day, I pray, Lord, in this prayer. Seal it, Father God. Let people speak new words. Let a new destinies open up. New futures open up, Father, as we yield our lives to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. And we put the music on there. Let the sound, put the holy, holy, holy on. The one from earlier, please. That's a lovely song. And we're going to, and the service is dismissed. Thank you, Father God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now then, Micah, you stay with me, baby. Now then, there's the gift of tongues, which you...
lift their voice to make his glory.